Have you ever seen a space that looked so tranquil, but then also foreign? You wanted to be there, but then didn't even know where it was or how to get there or how that space even got to be so beautiful. Think a remote island, a field of wildflowers. They're all operating on their own, untouched, no need for upkeep or maintenance, no stress in caring for them. What would it look like if we allowed ourselves to become spaces of not knowing, but instead allowing God and relying on God to make the unknowns in our lives beautiful? Hi, thank you for joining us on Path and Posture. I'm your host, Mariah Turner, here with my sisters, Brittany and Sierra Turner.
Hello.
Hi, ladies. So, the sweet little treat tonight. Showed up with nothing. Brittany said, I'm going to lead this one. I got wildflowers and sparrows on the brain, and I've got something in plan. And I'm like, okay, great. Show up. What are we doing? I don't know. I thought you had something. Oh, you know what? Let's keep that in the podcast, too, just to show how much we're flying by the seat of our pants here. Nothing's on mute. Nothing's prepared. You know? And that's okay. Sometimes life is like that. We're talking about wildflowers, and how they're untouched and unkept and untamed.
And unknown, and we don't know how.
This is an unknown podcast. It's wild. So here we are, Wildflower Podcast.
That is not how I wanted this to be.
But we're going to roll with it. It's unkept. It's unstructured.
Okay. So my whole plan, I've been wanting to do a podcast on wildflowers and sparrows for months. And I've been waiting for spring to come, which is this month.
We even wanted to do wildflowers, I feel like, in spring of 2022.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. See, I've been wanting.
We didn't.
Okay, so a year. And essentially, what I love about this concept is that it's kind of like, you know, Mariah and Sierra were joking that when we look at a meadow and we see the beauty of an untouched meadow, we want to be present there. But what makes it beautiful is that it is untouched. It's maintained by the glory of God, by His creation, by
the rhythm
His
of
care,
God's
and the things plan that He has set into place. And so I wanted to take that concept and apply it to our lives. Like, in what areas in our lives, what spaces can we, instead of seeing as desolate or fear, you know, approaching with fear, how can we see these spaces that are untouched by us,
unruly,
or others, as the beauty of God caring for wildflowers and sparrows? So that's essentially what I wanted. Now, was it the intro that I was hoping for? Not so much.
Okay, well.
We're just being honest.
Okay, so you bring up a field of wildflowers. And one thing that I do want to talk about that comes to my mind is that, yes, that field is there. So we live in Flower Mound, and I always think of like the Flower Mound, and it comes up every year, right? The flowers in the mound.
Yeah, like, there's an actual Flower Mound.
But they come up different every year, in the sense of like a flower will come up, it will enjoy its season, it will die. And then, you know, the same species of flower will come up next year as well.
Seeds, you know, dispersed.
Seeds. And so thinking of our lives, we will never be the same flower per se, and there will be seasons that come and go, and there will be parts of us that have to die, and then we sprout up in a different season. So I'm just trying to think of our lives in the whole metaphor that you're talking about, Brittany, with the wildflower mm-hmm. field, and how there is change, there is pain, there's drought mm-hmm. in our lives. Mm-hmm. So in trusting and surrendering to the Lord, it's not always like, oh yes, He sees the birds in the air and He sees the flowers and aren't they dressed? And yes, they are. But at the same time, there's still a lot that happens in the life of a bird or in the life of a flower.
He says that the flowers are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow.
I mean, just our bird ran into a glass window when we were younger and she broke her wing.
That's terrible, Sierra.
Traumatized?
She broke her wing. And so she lived a long life.
I do want to say, do you remember Johnny, my parakeet that flew away in Arizona?
Yes, I do.
When I was there,
Dad tried to catch
him. Spring of 2021, we were sitting on the back patio of our VRBO in Phoenix with my husband's family. You know what was on the power lines?
A parakeet?
Wild parakeets.
Are you kidding me?
There's wild parakeets.
It was God telling you that No.
I don't know if Johnny like had families and it like proliferated and like that was wild parakeets.
Wild parakeets all over Arizona.
All over Phoenix because of my bird that flew away. No, but anyway.
This is what happens when we don't have an outline.
Tangents. Are bad.
I wanted to share to a friend of mine, Rachel Joy. She is the founder of Sparrow on Main and Sparrow & Co. in Louisville. She wrote this really sweet thing. I'll read a little bit about it. She says, "This is a wild notion, no pun intended. Each flower coming from a seed breaking through the cold spring earth. Young and vulnerable yet full of promise, the width and strength of each stem uniquely supporting the delicate petals bursting forth one by one. Some flowers tall, reaching skyward, others low, giving way to large feather-like blooms. Each one beautiful, each one unique, each one having a place in the field, each one telling the story of the creator." And then she kind of goes on with a question, what if they compared themselves to each other? And so I loved her little notion here too, even like this wildflower, you know, we're thinking about this field and these wildflowers aren't comparing themselves to each other. They're growing in their own. Yeah. They're doing that, and that's what makes them beautiful is the wildness of it.
The beauty of a blue bonnet versus the beauty of a poppy.
Yeah. And so
I do think it's interesting, though, how so many people are, you know, just the allure of, oh, a wildflower. It's on its own and it's free. But with that freedom, it's just still very susceptible. You know, it's not being, it can't care for itself. It's not in a home.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have shelter.
And I think,
it surrenders to the will of the Father.
Exactly. And that's where I was going to go. It's like it ultimately surrenders to whatever the Lord wants for it. And
so how can we get that in our own life?
So I told you guys tonight, and I tell people often that I love living by the verse Luke 2:52, and Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. It like kind of lays out these four spaces, mentally, physically, spiritually, and relationally. And I love that because it's just kind of like Jesus did that, so you should too. And I wanted to kind of talk about what these untouched spaces or these wild spaces in our lives, these places that we may be afraid to approach, or we don't know how to approach, what they look like when we surrender them to the Lord. What's the difference between approaching it in fear and approaching it in faith? What makes it from,
or trying to micromanage it as opposed to coming and opening up your palms and just surrendering?
So it's mentally, physically. So it's like jobs, finding houses, you know, these milestone moments in our lives. Mentally, I guess, like belongs with wisdom, education, trying to increase in knowledge, trying to study, to show yourself approved, you know, in your hobbies or, you know, your whatever skills you have. And then spiritually, spending time with the Lord. I read something today. It said, you learn to pray by praying.
Right.
And it's like, yeah.
No, it's no brainer there, but it's like, I want to get better at prayer. How do I do it?
You start by praying.
Do it.
Yeah.
Isn't that the case with everything in life?
Yeah. Well, I guess.
Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes progress.
Yes. There you go. And then the last one is relationally. I think that's the toughest one too, because, you know, everybody has seasons of friends, and sometimes you just don't know how those seasons will end or how to make it beautiful.
You just have to surrender.
Yeah, you surrender it. And so that was it. So we can go one by one. And then see where the Lord takes us. Cause that's
all right. So mentally,
Sierra's just like running into it now.
Yeah. So mentally, so this is like skills that you've got going on. in your life. It says, you growing up and increasing in wisdom and approaching a, maybe something that was an unknown. One of the unknowns that I have in my life right now is that I'm a full-time mom and I'm a graphic designer. And I was for the longest time using old tools. And I was afraid for a little bit that using those old tools, I was going to age out of my trade. And I was just going to be forgotten and that it wasn't going to work anymore. And I had to really trust the Lord that like, that God was going to keep my mind fresh. And I could have bent to the fear. I could have just stopped, but that wasn't what I pursuing the Lord. I knew to surrender that to him. And so ultimately I got a new, my husband was so sweet and got me a new MacBook for Christmas. My MacBook was 8 years old and it was time. And I realized just how that changed everything, you know?
I wonder how this looks when it requires like personal action on your part. Like mentally, I would like to be in a place where I know a second language and play an instrument properly.
Properly.
So, you know, but those both require mental effort on my part. And so, like, I have to set aside time to practice. But at the end of the day, being now a mom of three, I feel very mentally drained.
I feel like we're all in the same boat. We really can't speak to this because we all have young children.
So it's like, let's surrender my mental energy. So maybe God, by surrendering, you know, he'll give me a burst of energy at the end of the night.
That, or it's like even just newfound seasons. Passion. Even just seasons. Like I think about my Aunt Sandy. Like she learned late in life, like after her kids are married, that she was great at painting. And now she has this art studio and she's commissioned for all these beautiful paintings. And so it's like these passions or these mental abilities, these skills and everything. Sometimes you just find out in different seasons, like, and even like me with running and exercising. Ugh. Like I did not like that growing up. I got married and Austin's family on vacation was, you know, let's get up and exercise. I'm like, who are you people?
Oh, wait. I've seen this meme online. It's like, my biggest fear is marrying into a family that runs on holidays.
Right. That's mine. That's mine. Let's go for a hike. And I was like, what? Well, now I'm all about it.
Turkey trot.
You know, and so I think about our mental state and, you know, if we feel like we're being used or if we feel like we have the right skill sets. And I just believe that God, if we allow him to, our will be conformed to his will. Our abilities will be honed in and our skill sets will be our abilities will be able to keep up with what it is that he brings into our life. So Brittany, you talk about your graphic design and being irrelevant. I have a reel for television news, it's like 7 years old. And news is constantly changing.
I still like to watch it.
But you know, I don't, I've gotten to the point where I'm not concerned about that because I know that if God needs me in a place to do that again.
You did do that
I will be highly desired and sought after in a miraculous way.
Well, it's like the saying.
To where he will bring the right whatever resources and company and news to pass, whoever says, you're hired. Wait, it's like, I'm not even concerned. So
let me ask, why do you know that?
Why do I know that?
Wait, because God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
There you go. That was from like one of our last podcasts. But no, and then also I've seen him do it once. I know he can do it again. The fact that he even had the job in the first place was a miracle.
That's how I know about my museum curation day.
People are like, how'd you get this job? God. God gave me the job. I had an abundance of favor with my superiors, with my coworkers. It was an incredible experience that I can only attribute to the hand of God. I know. Okay. People say, oh, you sound so pleasant on the radio or on the microphone or on television. And that's great. That's a God gifted ability to sound decent and not like this, and you, this, and that, you know, like from the tone of your voice.
Really, you don't sound like that.
Hey guys, from the tone of your voice to the persona and the attitude that you can bring, like all these things are God gifted talents and abilities and skill sets. And okay, there is also the training that comes with things too, because I feel like what good are you if you just rely on your own gifts? You need to also train and be able to, you know, learn.
Hone
and,
into those talents.
Yes. I mean, it's just like if you were an athlete, okay, so you're a naturally born great athlete. Are you going to be better than the guy who works 10 times as hard than you and is not?
You're sitting on your butt. You're not a great athlete.
So anyway, all this to say, to answer your question, Brittany, how do I know and how am I not worried? I'm not worried because I've seen him do it once. The great thing that I feel like has come up in my study time in the Word recently, in the walk of faith, it is always important to remember what he has done.
He says that all the time in Old
we
Testament.
We keep the faith. I just finished 1st and 2nd Peter. And so much of it is just, I feel like, about remembering to remember what the Lord has done. And
yeah. That's literally the Old Testament.
I read something today that said, don't trade what you do know for what you don't know.
Isn't that who said that? That was Greg Laurie.
Yeah.
When he lost his son.
Greg Laurie said...
Chuck Smith.
Greg Laurie said that somebody said that to him.
When he lost his son, yes.
Yes, so I read that because Greg Laurie was talking about the father that just lost his daughter.
Yes, it was tragic.
Yeah.
Yes, and so mentally, you know, Mariah is saying she's seen it done before. And if we look back on our lives... You know, the hope is that we can see God's presence in our past.
So in your mindset, so to help our mindset mentally, we need to use our mind mentally to remember.
To remember. We need to be in the remembrance. Our minds in remembrance.
Okay. All right.
Cool.
Next topic.
We've answered that for you. Mariah now on to the next
Mariah
one.
Mariah socialed out this week.
Okay, so that's mentally. So now
the Lord has used me socially and I'm tired.
She's a koala. So this is physically. So this is a really good one for when you are in search of a new milestone in your life. So if you are wanting a baby, if you are wanting a house,
wanting
a husband, a new job. These are things,
or just health. Is health part of this?
Oh, yes.
Because I'm looking back at my Instagram post, and you said wildflowers for tonight's topic, and I was thinking about when I went through my back surgery, and I had my nanny Wendy that helped me for those 3 months with my children, and then one of the last little excursions that we did after I was recovered was walking through the flower mound. She'd never been through the flower mound, and then I went through the flower mound.
You know,
with
I've
her.
Never been through the flower mound.
Oh, it'll be great. We'll go there for Easter. But yes, so I think about physically my hope and my prayer, my anxiety after my back surgery was I want to be able to walk and
can
lift
God
my children.
Make that?
And,
yeah, unknown, beautiful.
Yes, this is a huge unknown.
Yeah, because there's the possibility that you couldn't walk and either of those had to be beautiful.
I have a friend whose son is going through cancer. I have a friend who's going through cancer herself. And so there are unknowns and we just are asking God, make it beautiful. God, correct it. God, make it according to your perfect design and your perfect plan and your perfect will. And
when she did tell us that she was diagnosed with cancer, it's like amazing that the first thing in my mind was sing. And like I just saw her singing at her wedding when she turned around and praised the Lord before they exchanged vows.
Well, I think one of my favorite things.
And I was like, if we can hand these beautiful things to the Lord, we can hand him hard things to the Lord.
That's what I was going to say about your friend that has just been diagnosed with cancer. I think it was beautiful to see how one of the first things she said was that she was excited to see what God was going to do with this. Ugh,
that's just our personality. Like she's eager for the Lord to work and everything always. And just, you know. We adore this person with our whole heart.
Excited about the unknown.
Yes. And so she, just to say that she's excited about it, even though there is no view of wildflowers yet, you know.
Well, isn't that what sparrows do? They don't know how they're going to be cared for, but they sing all day long.
They sing.
They do sing.
They sing all
day
long.
There you go.
One thing that I love, I don't even know which sermon it was, but Matt Chandler, he was so fervent in what he was saying. Just when you are under attack by Satan and how you can still lift up a song and worship knowing that the God of the universe is on your side and you can sing in his face. You know, this is like, yes and amen. I'm going to sing in his face. And it's going to torment him because I know who I serve. And I know that this physical reality that we are all looking at, that we think is it, is not it. This is just a glimpse. It's a breath. And we get so caught up in it because to us, it's, you know, it's reality. But to God, a day is 1,000 years. A year, 1,000 years is a day. You know, time is not even relevant to him. I don't.
Okay.
Can't comprehend it.
That's okay not to understand that.
People wonder, how can you serve a God like that when there's so many questions and there's so many unknowns and you don't have the answers? And it was one thing that Dad said to us recently. It was, man, if I could comprehend everything in my little 3-pound brain of everything that this God has created, do you think he's worthy of my praise? No. It's he has to be so much larger and so much more powerful. I'm thankful that there's a lot that I can't comprehend.
Ignorance is bliss.
Well, I'm just thankful that he knows and I'm not called to know. I don't have to know.
I'm not burdened.
He's been gracious and good enough to tell me that I can know in eternity verse. With him.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding.
There's no way that my own understanding could even like amount to his understanding. And I'm thankful it doesn't, because where would the reverence be in that if I could count myself his equal?
Yeah.
No.
Why worship him? You're his equal.
So,
you know everything.
Same thing goes for, you know, I have a friend too that, you know, she's trying for a baby and she just wants the Lord to work. And it's just a hard place to be. It's a hard place to be. And because especially as women, you know, it's just like when you're a woman and this is what you're supposed to do, right? And this is what you want to do and it's all lining up, but there's no baby. That's really hard place to surrender.
And it's like, I didn't have to wait very long when I was starting my motherhood journey. I did have to wait 6 months until I got pregnant with Cal. But those 6 months were difficult in themselves, because it was my first time trying to get pregnant,
first is hard.
And so you don't know if you can get pregnant. You don't know why it's being delayed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I remember having to surrender that anxiety of.
When did you find peace? When were the moments that? What did those moments of peace look like to you?
I don't remember the exact moment, but I remember that it was after I surrendered that I got pregnant.
Oh,
yeah. And so
it's also a physical piece in your body to where you're no longer trying to make something happen.
Because I do think that it was the anxiety of the unknown that was causing I had menstrual cycles that were getting thrown off. You know, it for about a month and a half, I thought I wasn't having any sort of cycle. Yeah. And so I was getting blood tests done and I was just like, what is wrong with my body? And so it was just all of that anxiety was definitely affecting, and all the stress was affecting my body and the rhythm of my body. And so by surrendering it, you know, I was able to just surrender to God's rhythm, you know. Mm. And thankfully, I am somebody that can say that I got pregnant shortly after that. And I think that was definitely something beautiful in his plan. But you know, sometimes you surrender and you still have to wait and it looks, it's like, oh, perfect example. Janet and Dan, my mother and father-in-law, Janet didn't have, she got married, and said, I can't have children. I've never had any sort of cycle. And so, for 10 years, they tried to have a child. And they did not have a child. So they ended up adopting 2 children 6 months apart. And so they practically had twins. And then right after that, she got pregnant with her first son. Like two years later, she got pregnant with Sam.
And she went on to have 7.
She went on to have 5 kids on top of the adopted 2. So they had 7 children. Uh-huh. And she was just like, I'm just going to keep having kids until God takes away my ability. And that's what they did. She had her last at 45.
That is, it's amazing.
So that was unknown.
And then for like, they're searching for a house, searching for community, searching for a church. Like, these are all physical unknowns. And the best thing I can probably suggest, and I've probably said this before in a podcast, is to focus on mile missions, meaning that you focus on within a mile of wherever you are, that moment, every minute of every day. And you say, how can I make this better? How can I leave this in a better state? How can I, and that's sometimes prayer, that's sometimes reaching over to the person next to you and getting, starting a conversation. It's sometimes fixing a physical issue. You know, it's mile missions. These are short things that you can do in the physical space that you're given in that moment.
Miles pretty big.
Okay, what's the next?
What did you say?
A mile's pretty big.
It's pretty big. And then the next one is spiritually, favor with God. So it is the unknowns of our spiritual, our relationship with God.
So much of it is just faith and trust, and what he says is true. And when you're credited a salvation, believing in that salvation and that salvation cannot be taken away despite your failures. I mean, we're guaranteed and promised that. So I feel like the spiritual worrying that can happen in your walk with the Lord is, am I enough? Have I screwed up so much now that my salvation's gone? And I think the word's pretty clear that that's no. However, you know, and that's another thing, going over the gospel of Peter. Gosh, he screwed up so much. And even denying Christ three times, and Christ looks at him the third time after the rooster crows, and he weeps bitterly. And then the next time he sees him, he jumps out of the boat and swims to him, and he's just so thankful. And Christ asks him, do you love me? Three times. And then he's hurt because I think he just remembers, yes, yes, I know what I did, and yes, I love you three times. And he's like, feed my sheep, tend my sheep. And he's given that commission to follow me again. And I think just the great redemptive story of hearing how much you can walk with Jesus and even mess up so bad, but then you become this huge rock that the church and the whole gospel just comes through, and people are saved by the thousands at your teachings. And so I think
that's in our weakness, he's strong, right?
So strong. And in his weakness, I feel like—
In our weakness.
No, in Peter's weakness, oh, in Peter's. Christ was shown, it was magnified, yeah. Right? And here we are today as believers looking back on his testimony and just being completely inspired and encouraged that there's nothing we could do that could separate us from the love of Christ and our salvation and our eternity with him.
Including doubting. There's a quote that says, doubt isn't the opposite of faith. It is an element of faith. And there's another quote that says, the opposite of faith is not doubt, but certainty.
Do you know who's saying these
things? Paul Tillich said, the doubt isn't the opposite of faith. It's an element of faith.
That's good.
And a couple,
I like that. I never heard that.
A couple people are credited with the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is control.
Who said, I believe, help me in my unbelief? Who said that in the Bible? That's someone who Jesus was healing.
I believe,
help me in my unbelief.
Jesus said unto him, if thou... Oh, this is going to be King James Version. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Oh, so someone he was healing.
When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. So this was in Mark 23 through 25.
But Mark 23. I'm
going to see who's talking to. He was talking 25. Just a man who brought his son to Jesus.
Yeah. Who had a spirit.
Who has a New King James Version says, a mute spirit.
Aww.
And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. That's when it kind of like overtakes
it's
him.
It's like epilepsy.
Foams at the mouth.
Yep, that's epilepsy.
Gnashes his teeth.
Yes. Another thing that I think is important in these unknown spaces spiritually is grace, is understanding kind of what grace is. And St. Augustine says, what grace is meant to do is to help good people not to escape their sufferings, but to bear them with a stout heart, with a fortitude that finds its strength in faith. And I think that it's important that grace is just to remind us that in those unknown spaces, we're not to escape our suffering.
We're to ask God to help with our unbelief.
Yes, and to bear one another's burdens, bear it as the body of Christ, together as a church, and in faith. And that's when grace is, it's really truly firing on all cylinders. It's not, grace is not to escape the, because the flowers, they're there today, thrown in the fire tomorrow. We could be the same, right? Here today, gone tomorrow. And we don't live in that fear. We live in the grace of faith that life is beyond this, that we are to bask in the glory of the Lord for thousands of years to come. So spiritually, I think that's a good as understanding grace. It's understanding humility, your weakness. In your weakness, he's strong. And was the other one?
I mean, there's a reason why the Bible talks about childlike faith, talks about milk as an infant. You will grow in your faith. It is a journey, a lifelong journey. Every time you read the Bible, whether you've read it zero times, one time to 100 times, you will discover something new and something different. My father-in-law is a perfect example. I don't know how many times he's read the Bible. Probably at least 40. Yeah, I mean, it's 40 times. If he's read it every year for a long time now. And he says every time he reads it, he discovers something new.
Yep.
And God reveals something different to him. And so that is a spiritual journey. And when it comes to the unknown, I would say it's the unknown of how God will use that in your life, because we are accountable for what we know, and God will reveal that to us in his time. And it's our choice at that time to allow it to sanctify us.
And sometimes his time is not on this side. Yeah. And I think that goes well with relationships. So we're going to go into the next one. So favor with man, you know, growing in our relationships, knowing when to say goodbye, knowing when to say hello, and just knowing, just or not knowing how to handle those seasons. You know, it's just, it was really
unknown.
Yeah, it's just, you know, we've all, the body of Christ is to operate as a body. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, you want, everybody wants everybody to be friends and to be present. And, but it's just, it is just, we are so limited on time and ability.
I'm sure the toe does not understand the liver.
Correct. Sure.
Hey, nobody want to be a gallbladder.
Random.
They lack understanding.
Random organs.
It's the unknown. Going into unknown territory sometimes of dealing with foreign people.
I'm pretty sure the hand has no intention of knowing the heart. Nobody wants to know that heart.
Talk about our friend who's becoming a missionary, and she's going into the unknown.
Oh my goodness.
Yep.
In more ways than one. She's not only going into unknown land.
She's going into
everything about this is unknown. She doesn't know where she's going yet as a family.
Yep.
She doesn't know what language she'll have to learn.
She has a heart for Muslims. So she knows what region.
They said anyway.
Yeah. But the region, you know, she's probably thinking about that region. But Middle East in some way. But yeah, she said over 3,000.
Could you be sent to Africa? And she's
that's true. Yeah, Africa as well. She said there's 3,000 unreached people groups still. So, yeah. I mean, that is an unknown space for sure. And relationally.
Yeah. She's going to have to build relationships with people that she now understands through a lifelong pursuit of pursuing Muslim community.
I know, but she's not going. Cloth.
But she has never been. She's always been a home front missionary. She's always, you know,
been protected by the Constitution.
Bloomed where she was planted. Yeah. And she was planted here in America, and so she bloomed here in America. And now she is jumping out in faith to go someplace else in the world, and that is going to be a lot of unknowns, a lot of unknown culture, just home, what home they'll live in, and what that's going to be like, and the resources that they'll have. The food that they'll have, all of this is unknown.
Missionaries are a great example for that
because of unknowns.
Yeah. Andrew and I have a friend.
They are the sparrows.
Andrew and I have a friend where they are missionaries right now in another country, and they are they have two children, Calvin and Jay's age, so like 4 and 2, and they're having to potty train in the midst of being a missionary
a missionary family is that you had to continue the stress of family life while also knowing that you are on mission to reach the lost. But you know, on a micro scale level or macro, I don't know which economically we're talking here, in our communities, we're very much a first world country, but there's still so many that are lost. And so, okay, if we want to take this analogy of being a missionary and put that title on yourself. What does it look like being a missionary in your own little community? There are so many unknowns. You have no idea who you might be trying to relate to on your street and how to reach them per se.
Your neighbor is unknown to
so many people. So I want to take that idea, the concept that you guys are talking about, and put it in more of like an approachable, understandable thing for our listeners is that you, listener, you are a missionary on your street, at your job. You are a missionary in the bubble that God has placed you in, your sphere of influence. So one thing that I do want to say in reference to this idea of the relationally unknown factors, and I feel like so much of it is self-inventory and just surveying where you're at. And are you being sharpened by the people that are surrounding you? Are you being challenged by the people that are surrounding you in a good way? I want to reference the last part of Peter, 2 Peter 3. These are his dying words, right? This is his letter of his, and then we know that he died not too long after writing it. This is his last letter to the church. And he says, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, again, this forewarning was about false teachers and things that are infiltrating the faith in the church in ways, he says, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. And so right there, I feel that we are being told that we are supposed to be growing constantly in anywhere we are in our walk with the Lord. We are called to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What does it look like to grow in grace? What does it look like to grow in knowledge? Ask yourself those questions, and then ask yourself relationally, are you able to do that? Are you growing in grace relationally with the people around you? Are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus with the people around you? Are they helping you? If they're not believers, are they asking questions that make you dive deeper in your faith?
And
if they are believers, are they guiding your conversations in ways that are edifying and encouraging your faith? So I think to answer this last one, it's a lot of standing in the field and looking around at this field of wildflowers and this unknown, and taking inventory and surveying. And that's how we are to answer the unknown questions of our relationships.
That's you looking at your current relationship. Some people are coming from past hurt. And what if they don't have a good relationship with their dad or their mom, and they're trying to figure out,
what's the future of this relationship? Well, and then again, it comes to surrendering. And sometimes it involves taking space away from that person and allowing God to just move.
Yep.
Even it could be your husband or your spouse. Sometimes I joke. I once heard, you know, sometimes you just need to pray for your spouse and then duck and let God hit them. So it's just this is where the power of prayer is so important. I mean, every element of our life, the power of prayer is important. But it is especially important in the aspects of your life that you do not have control over, and you don't have control over other people. Well, you don't have control over what they think about you.
The people that you have in your life, they influence you. Like, you will become most like the three people that are closest to you in your life.
And that's why it's important to remember when the Bible says, I'll have to look up the verse, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Mm-hmm. Yes, Jesus ate with tax collectors. He ate with sinners. We're all sinners. Mm-hmm. But he didn't do so in a way where he was hoping that they would influence him.
Or like him.
Or like him. Or be accepted by them. He did so in a way to share the good news with them and to lead them to a life of sanctification through him, through Christ. To lead them into a life where they are his followers, and then iron can sharpen iron, not the blind, leading the blind into a ditch. Yeah. So that's important with your relationships. As you pursue the unknown, pursue things that glorify Christ.
And I recently wrote a write-up on boundaries and what does it look like when you allow the gospel to be the center of your boundaries and not yourself necessarily. Yes. So, because
yes.
Sometimes when you put sometimes when you put yourself in the center, you're allowing your fears to be the center.
Yeah.
You lose the gospel focus.
So when you put the gospel in the center, mm-hmm. and you therefore are responding to the gospel, and not yourself in the center and everybody's responding to you, it's a very different world. The boundaries are still being created, and, you're not throwing your pearls before swine. Except, there's boundaries in the Bible that help us establish healthy relationships, period. The gospel, the gospel is not going to make you out to be, less sanctified, or a fool. It's there to make you perfect in Christ. And that comes with sanctification and holiness and righteousness and justice. And so there's a lot of beautiful things that the gospel allows if you allow that to be in the center of your relationships.
And just for a brief definition of sanctification.
I think I feel like we're always defining this on this podcast.
Well, go ahead.
Justification and sanctification.
Well, why don't you define it?
Justification is believing that Jesus has justified you.
Before God,
because through his death and resurrection and ascension to heaven.
If he were to stand in front of a judge, he's the one that says, I will take on the punishment.
Yep. He's justified you. Sanctification is what happens after you believe in Jesus Christ.
And it is just allowing the Holy Spirit to move in you. It's allowing
you to study his word.
Study his
word. You have to know why you believe what you believe.
How do you become somebody you don't learn about,
right?
How you have to learn about the character of Christ in order to become the character of Christ.
We're created in his image. What is that image? What are the attributes of God? So this is all a relationally thing.
That is what I was just about to say. This is the relationship with Christ. The unknown of your relationship with Christ is the continuing pursuit of Christ. So.
Yep. And so with that, I feel like we're always coming back to apologetics. Like,
is there anything else in life except for the defense of Christ?
No, there is. But with that, all that to say is every space can be beautiful, and there's a relationship between pain and pleasure. There is a, joy and suffering. They're here to not necessarily be friends, but there is a relationship that we don't necessarily understand in our human condition. But if we trust in the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we will lean on our faith and know that he makes all things beautiful. And it's time. Isn't that, that's Ecclesiastes, right?
There's a time for everything.
No, he makes everything beautiful.
Yes, that's...
Yeah. And so we believe that. We believe that everything, every space...
And what's the...
Mentally, physically, spiritually, and relationally. No matter where we fall short, if we lean into the Lord, know Him, trust Him,
yield it to Him,
surrender it to Him,
He will make it beautiful.
Thanks and, for the wild podcast, Brittany.
Well, P.S. Wildflowers. I do want to mention that in a time in my life where I have felt that I had to surrender to Him, I really was encouraged by the song Surrender by Barlow Girl.
Oh.
And so for anybody looking for a song to help you surrender, that one was very monumental in my life. So, and I Surrender by Jesus Culture. That was another one. So,
yeah. This is the hymn, I Surrender All.
Yeah, if you want to just go old school, that's a good one.
Yeah, there's a lot of resources out there.
Let's lead us out in prayer.
Okay, go ahead, Sierra.
All right, no, I'll do it.
Are you gonna?
We're going wild tonight. Sierra's never prayed us out.
Well, you know, I'm not afraid of the unknown of what I'll say.
I love this. This is all very unknown.
I feel like we're leaving just how we began.
Laughing. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time for us to be able to gather together in safety. May we never take that for granted. And thank you for the freedom for us to distribute this podcast to our listeners and their freedom in listening to it and not feeling threatened. So may we always just first and foremost acknowledge that freedom and never take it for granted. So Lord, as we approach the unknowns in our life, I pray that you will give us first and foremost a peace that surpasses all understanding. Help us to know that you have a good plan for us, and good doesn't always mean easy. But it's good in your definition, Lord. And we know that you are a good father and you will use even ashes and turn them into beauty. If not in our lifetime, it is for the glory of the plan that you have for the entire world, Lord. And for the coming of your son again, so that we can, until we are all able to go home to you. And so I just pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in our next steps as we take those steps in the unknown, that you help us to see the beauty in each season that you place us in. And I pray that you will just continue to sanctify us and mold us into who you ultimately want us to be as we surrender our lives to you and surrender our character and surrender our relationships, our mental energy, our emotions, our physical endeavors, that as we surrender these things to you, that you will take them and make them even better than what we could have imagined. You know, we are so far from perfection. Even what we define as perfection is flawed because we cannot understand true perfection, which is found in you and found in your plan. So please surpass our expectations and show us the glory that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Streets often like to stare until I look their way, and then I'm not there. The savor of rejection,
savor of rejection,
deep into my soul. Reputation's mantle bears a heavy toll. The uninvited standing at your door. I I'm the person in the mirror you've never seen before. I'm a wise of outcast, searching for a sign that speaks of the forgiveness he promised that was mine. Looking at all these faces, jury and judge, wrapped in one. When they see me, do they know me? What have I become? The perfume of repentance seeks acceptance on his part. My offering is my alabaster heart. Watching all these faces, jury and judge, we've become. When he sees us, does he know us? The day of reckoning has come. The perfume of repentance seeks acceptance on his part. My offering, it's my alabaster heart. The perfume of repentance seeks acceptance on his part. Our offering, our alabaster.